Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
It's Power Hour, LSU.
Let's freaking go, PHL Nation. Let's talk about a report from earlier today. Lon Phillips said that Caleb Jackson is not going to play another game for LSU. And there was a back and forth with Caleb's mother, apparently. And now we're in a spot where we could be without a running back for the rest of the year. I could not confirm this today. I'm not a reporter. I do have a journalism degree, and I can tell you, like we have said in the past, that this reporter in question has gotten things wrong in the past, multiple things wrong. He's gotten some stuff right as well. So, look, does this change anything for the LSU running back room? Well, the answer is simple. It's already changed. It is interesting that in this last game, LSU decided to run the Wildcat package with Juwan Johnson and playing the first real snap of his career on offense, Malachi Lane, a walk-on, was into the game, not Caleb Jackson. So Caleb Jackson is under the 5-game limit, apparently, so he could redshirt in theory, which is something we have seen two other SEC running backs do today or in the last 48 hours. Damari Alston at Auburn, and then there was a running back at Texas who was highly recruited. Honestly, very similar to that of Caleb Jackson, and he's thinking about packing his bags and going. In fact, he's already left the team. So I do not know. I am a huge fan of Caleb Jackson. I had a really good grade on him in my own personal recruiting rankings. And, of course, a lot of people did. He has taken over practices as a true freshman. Now, of course, as a year three player, things have just not worked out. It's just has not worked out the way that everyone expected it to. Now, the truth is that I want what's best for every single player that wears you purple and gold. It is never easy to criticize any single player. But Caleb Jackson just has not really had an impact over the past couple of seasons. Ironically, he has had a bigger impact as a pass protector and an occasional receiver out of the backfield. He did drop that one pass versus Ole Miss. It also was low. And this sounds like a crappy excuse, but if you've actually played the game, you know how big of a deal this is. He was in the sun and the ball was coming out of the shadows. I understand that sounds like a really bad excuse, but it is indeed a very real thing if you're not used to dealing with that. It's more of a thing in baseball, obviously, than in football. But look, Caleb Jackson has had a weird career. No matter what happens with this, also keep in mind, this is just one reporter, one that has gotten things wrong. It's just something that's happened in the past. So we'll see what happens. Whatever you do, Caleb, best of luck to you in your next endeavor, unless you go to an SEC school that plays us. But personally, I want every single LSU player to live a life full of happiness. Now, the next thing. I will be on Blake Ruffino's show a little bit later. And not only he, but a few others were very troubled by something a former player said in Braden Fiocco, who I like a lot. I like Braden a lot. In fact, last week he followed me on Twitter and I asked him, and I've yet to get a response. I might reach out to a few of his teammates to see if we can get him on the show because I want him to voice his frustrations. He has been very public about some of his frustrations, some of which I agree with, some of which, you know, I disagree with. But the thing is, where I really do side with Braden Fiocco, and I hope I'm saying his last name correct, but one area I do side with the former 2019 National Championship player and a multiple-year NFL player is that every single one of you are allowed to have an opinion on LSU football. It just comes down to how you word it. And I do think it's okay for him to have a negative opinion of Brian Kelly. He did not play for Brian Kelly. I do think there were a few things. I don't want to get into that unless he actually comes onto this channel because you know I want him to speak for himself. I do think we have a good chance of getting him on once you know I start conversating with him and knowing that we've had one of his very prominent teammates or two prominent teammates already be on the channel in the past. I like Braden a lot. I do. I like the way that he played. I like the fact that he wears his emotion on his sleeves. And look, I had quite a few of you blowing me up this morning because it was Blake, and Blake means a lot to me. We're close friends, obviously. And you know, these things happen. I get in feuds. And in the end, you end up not really hating someone. In fact, earlier today, a feud I got into with someone else, we had a Twitter back and forth, and it was a positive one. So it's one of those things where I don't think two people really hate each other or anything like that. It's just emotions are very high. And there are quite a few things going on with LSU football that former players are pissed off about. Some of which could be people that have been demoted, which is something that has happened behind the scenes with Brian Kelly, if you will. So look, it's one of those things where things are great for us right now. We are 5-1. There is a lot to be excited about, but I do believe it's okay for you to not be happy with where LSU football is right now. And then it lends itself into something I released yesterday, which was an overall, what seems to be negative film study of the LSU offense. And part of the negativity has to do with the thumbnail, all right? The thumbnail and the title of the video can paint a picture of a video that doesn't fully paint what the video is truly about. Because if I do a film study and I mostly talk about things that are positive, but the thumbnail is the big thing, which is a negative play, well, guess what? People are going to take it as negative. That's how this works, especially if you're doing an hour-long film study. And I was just going to do the first half and then do a separate second half video. But the biggest play from this game is LSU had an interception happened in the second half of the game that a fifth-year quarterback should never have. And the funny thing about it was I actually chose to not get into the structure of the play because I feel like, and there are some things about the structure of the interception that Garrett Nussmeier threw that a few of you have pointed out, that we've pointed out in live streams, but I didn't want the structure of the call and the call itself to absolve Garrett Nussmeier from, to me, the worst interception he's thrown in his career. Okay. So, and I got a lot of negative comments underneath it. Hey, you should be happy we're 5-1. Hey, you shouldn't be saying this. I'm tired of you media members. And the funny thing about it is when people comment under there with that kind of stuff, they never mention me specifically. Mention me. Call me out. If you want to bring something up, call me out about it. It's fine. But the funny thing about it is I do strongly believe that that interception was that bad. If Garrett was sitting right here, I would say it to him, even though I love him. I love him. I try my best to keep analysis to where I would say something to that player's face. And I would say it to Garrett as much. That would be the first interaction I've ever had with him. And it would be kind of awkward. It'd be in a negative one. But that's how big of a deal that interception was. It really was that big of a deal. Now, we ended up winning the game. No big deal. But I really wanted to hammer home that point. And this would be the thing that I would ask and tell everyone if they didn't like the overall negative, overarching take of the video, which I felt was mostly positive. Josh Thompson had his best game. Cohen Echols did some really good things. We had the Tre'Davious Green experience. More importantly, we knew Tre'Davious was going to have a big game at some point. But more importantly, Joe Sloan used him correctly. And I very publicly said that I don't want Tre'Davious Green playing tight end. I want him being used the way that he should be used. And Brian Kelly and that whole brain trust deserves a whole hell of a lot of credit for doing that. Here's a stat. LSU is still the only team in the SEC to not have scored 24 points in a Power 4 game yet. We have not done it. I don't know if we can do it. Every other team has scored 24 points at least once. We have, but it was versus Southeastern. Y'all, that just cannot stand. It cannot last. It's something we just cannot have happen. Do you know how hard it is to not score 24? Seriously, do you know how hard that is? And I understand that that is just an arbitrary number. And I hate using total points. You guys know I'm a yard per play guy and then an EPA per play guy. Per play and average statistics are overall better than total points and total yards and all of that. But we have not scored a measly 24 points in a single offensive game. And some of you want to, under my film study yesterday, say, well, I'm tired of bitching about the offense. It deserves to be bitched about. It deserves to be bitched about. It just does. We can be happy we're 5-1. Kumbaya, great. But it's okay to point out how putrid it's been. I cannot stress enough. Do you know how hard it is to not have done it at least once? Do you know? It's really hard. It's really hard. I would prefer to be 5-1 LSU over other teams that have scored a lot of points that have two or three losses. Take Arkansas. They have scored, I think, 31 in every game except one, and that's Notre Dame, arguably the hottest team in the country. But they have three losses, and I would prefer, of course, to be 5-1. But let's repeat that. Arkansas scored 31 in every game that they have played outside of one. We can't score 24. We cannot score 24 points. With Aaron freaking Anderson and Tre'Davious Green and Caden Durham and a quarterback that's going to be probably drafted next year, I don't care how bad the offensive line is. It is a structural rot issue that we cannot get to that number. So it's okay to point out, hey, we did some good things, and it's okay to poke holes into that very basic stat. But when you get into third down percentage and all these advanced things, it can fly over people's heads. But we have got to do a better job of putting mother effing points on the board. We just do. I'm tired of Mansoor Delane and A.J. Halsey and Bernard Gooden and Whit Weeks and Harold Perkins bailing us out every week. So it's okay to admit that the offense is where we are right now. Okay? And apparently we go to our comments and Brambo didn't listen to a word I just said. Of course, I'll say it 1,000 times. I would prefer to be us than any other school that has actually put up points. I just would. Okay? Auburn's offense sucks too. And they're losing. We have no identity. We have none. Now, a few other things before we get to more of your comments. I feel like just ranting. I'm going to get to as many comments. Obviously, if you super chat, sure. But there is a lot that I want to get to. I also appreciate, before I continue, all the messages for my wife's birthday. She is a young, spry 23. And I'm really excited to celebrate good times. Come on. And we are 5-1. It's okay to be excited about that. And the weirdest thing about it is, like, I shared a tweet about how proud I am that this team is 5-1. And the people call me a softball. Whatever. I'm not a victim in this, so. I don't know why I put the hat on. You want to know why I put the hat on? I was thinking today about the man who made this hat. So there's a PHLer that actually made me this hat. And the hat that Blake has on is the same guy that made that one. Now, will I sell these hats? I don't know. But I decided to wear it. I don't have any crazy hair or anything like that. I put it on just to put it on. Thank you, Roy. I appreciate it. Tell Burgundy, that's my homie, the tennis homie. Legendary CEO, thank you. But yeah, tell the whole fam I said what's up. And there he is, right on cue. I honestly did not see him in the chat. But I was thinking about Tyler for something. And Tyler knows what I'll be referencing here. I'll keep it here. But so it's something personal that happened to him that happened to me in a way recently. It's sad, but that's why I don't want to bring it up. But I was thinking about Tyler. Like, you know what? I feel like I need to put Tyler's hat back on. So I don't know if I'm going to make the hat a permanent thing. It is kind of weird with the headset on as well. So there you go. I really do appreciate you, Tyler. Okay? The offense showed that they could score versus South Carolina. Sure. Legendary CEO, thank you. But Brambo, it's like what I'm saying is coming through one ear and out the other. We scored the same amount of points versus South Carolina that we did versus Florida. Florida's defense actually is really elite. And Legendary CEO, with another super, appreciate it. But South Carolina's defense is not elite. They're good. They're really good. God dog it, dude. Jace Max, I got you on that. Don't worry about that, bro. All right, my computer does this from time to time. Actually, you know what I could do? I can get to our first break. Coming up right after this, really excited that our friends at Fortified Gulf Coast, they're going to keep this thing rolling. They're liking what they're hearing from UPHL Nation. I have a massive problem with the sport of college football. PHL Nation, it's time to lock in and get serious really quickly with our friends at Fortified Gulf Coast and FortifiedGulf.com. This is my buddy, Ramey. He is one of many Fortified Gulf Coast inspection professionals that are doing something to help you not only save your home, but your memories.
The Fortified program got started about 13 years ago. We adopted it here in New Orleans about 2.5 years ago. It's a more advanced way of doing the roof. It adds an extra layer of protection, whereas even if a hurricane was to pull the shingles off this roof, water will still not get into the house.
So yes, your establishment is important. But what about the things you can't replace? That family scrapbook or that painting that's been handed down from Meemaw to Papaw and to you? It is important to protect that today with Fortified Roofing. And while this seems like a priceless asset, Did you know it can actually save you on your homeowner's insurance up to 37% if you are in South Louisiana? Just call the number 504-444-7563. That's 504-444-7563 or visit fortifiedgulf.com. That's FORTIFIEDGULF.com. Let's go. All righty. Cannot forget about our friends, five different locations in the 337 Power Hour Network listeners and viewers. You might be consuming this content with that crick in your back that you've been trying to get rid of for so long. Take this as your sign today to book your appointment with LabordTherapy.com. In the Lafayette region, there is no one that you will find that cares more about any different type of pain that you might have than the team at LabordTherapy.com. Book today. Once again, that's LabordTherapy.com, or you can visit one of their five locations all throughout the Lafayette region. Make some noise if you're from Crowley. Let's go to Hitman before I get to my college football rant. They proved they could put themselves in position to score, but continue to come up short and actually getting into the end zone consistently. There you go. That also describes me at college bars when I was a student at LSU. I could get in that friend zone, but I could not Mariano Rivera close the deal. Who gives a damn if you can get in the red zone and not actually score? Who cares? I don't care. Put six on the board. My goodness gracious. If anyone that knows this, it's me. Meemaw to Pat Paul to you. I'm serious. Fortified Gulf Coast. All right. One quick thing on Fortified Gulf Coast. Y'all, the big thing about that, all right, let me just go on one little rant because I've actually done research on this because some of you made fun of me because I couldn't think of the word for shingles during the video yesterday when I was doing a read for them, and then I said the plates on top of it. Okay. In Alabama, they have these insurance breaks because a lot of the roofs in the areas of Alabama where bad weather happens are fortified. So when everyone gets their roofs fortified, insurance becomes better. That's a very simplified way of describing it. So you're not only helping yourself out by saving on homeowners insurance and doubling up that roof, you're also helping out everyone else. And theoretically, if everyone actually goes and gets their roofs fortified, that's why they reached out to me. They said, we like your personality. We like your content. We like the film studies. So, you know, I only like to do partnerships that I feel actually bring joy to people. That's why we have Zion Imaging. And that's why we have, of course, Fortified Gulf Coast and Labord Therapy, relieving that pain. But what do I know? Now, college football. I do need to bring up James Franklin, okay? I get so sick and tired when a coach gets fired. Oftentimes, there is a reason why the coach is getting fired. Do you really think Penn State, wanted to give him $50 million to walk away? Hell no! No! Nobody wants to give anyone $50 million to walk away. Ed Orgeron got 17, and he actually won the Natty. James Franklin wasn't a great coach. He was a fine coach. He righted the ship in a very inconsistent Big Ten. But the numbers bore out that throughout the James Franklin tenure, despite having Saquon Barkley all the way up to Nicholas Singleton, despite having the best tight end room in college football, year after year after year, their offenses were never in the top 30. They were rarely in the top 50 when it comes to adjusted opponent efficiency. They never won big games. You knew that they were going to fail in big games. You knew that they were going to choke this year. Our guest tomorrow. Well, our guest tomorrow might have to cancel. I got a message earlier. What's on? I won't say who because you guys get really excited when this person comes on. But we did a clip, and she made a James Franklin joke, and she was right. Okay? He's just not that great. It's okay to admit it. And the idea that there are media members that can't see this, that he's not that great. The ones that are defending James Franklin have to be friends with the guy. That's how bad it was at Penn State. I'm serious. Oh, he had a multiple 10-win seasons. Whoop-dee-doo. And I understand Ohio State's been the best program in the Big Ten, and it's hard to beat Ohio State. Beat him at least once. Beat him at least once. Couldn't do that. It's amazing, though. It's amazing that the sympathy you should have is not for James Franklin. It's for all the assistants. The assistants are the ones that are left out in the cold and have to go get new jobs. All right, legendary CEO, you get to pick the next topic. Go right on ahead. Thank you for all your super chats. All right, let's go to someone I've actually partied with. Carter's being humbled. I personally saw him close 4 to 5 times. This isn't true because I don't think I closed 4 to 5 times in college. Oh, man. I was not a Trevor Hoffman in college. I was not. I was not Lewis Coleman in the final game of a College World Series. That was not me. That was not me. Let's go to Cody L. The grass may not be greener on the other side for Penn State. And I bring this up because you might be right. You might be right, Cody L. But it's Penn State. This is a good program with good resources, money. Hell, Pennsylvania, a great football state. Not elite football state, but a great football state. People care about football there. He's never going to win the big game. He's just not going to do it. It was never going to happen. Never, ever, ever. So, you know, I don't think James is a bad coach. He's just not that great. But really, I could pull up the adjusted efficiency numbers. They are not good. They are. I could not believe it. I could not believe how many people truly were appalled by the James Franklin firing. Just use your eyes and common sense, okay? Now, that lends itself to Brian Kelly. Because in the beginning, we touched on a former player bringing up BK not being that great and him listing who he would want as a coach and all of that. And once again, I would love Braden Fiocco to come on this channel. But, pause. You look at Brian Kelly's overall body of work. He's been good. He's been mostly good here at LSU. But there are things that you want to see better, things that you want to see done cleaner. What I can say, though, is when you get into talking about culture, because Brian Kelly, because some people want him to go to Penn State, and he's been listed on some of these sites, if you will. I don't think he's leaving LSU. I mean, he's got a really good job here, a really good life here, unless he just wanted to go back to the Midwest, where if he were to go to Penn State, he would be under more pressure to win there than he is here, as crazy as that sounds. The truth is, we're in a fine spot with Brian Kelly. We are. I wouldn't be saying this otherwise. I would shoot you straight as someone that has been more critical of him than praiseworthy of him in recent weeks. I want him to remain the LSU coach. I'm not just saying that. But we need better results. We really do. We really, really, really do. Let's get to a few more comments. Let me read a few. I've been too much in rant mode. I only spit heat, baby. That's all I do. Let's go to Go Hard or Go Home. He says, Carter, good is too kind. Good is at least making the playoffs at a school like LSU. What if we make it this year? What if LSU, with a scraggly 9-3, finds a way to get in? It would depend how that 9-3 would actually look. 10-2, you're a lock. 9-3 could get you in this year. It really could. If that's what we are, yeah, you would hope for a school like UCLA to keep winning and Oregon to lose a few more and so on and so on. But, yeah, LSU at 9-3 could get in. It could get in. But I've already shared before the season what my main nightmare is for this team. And I've had the nightmare. Seriously, I've woke up in the middle of the night and it was like petrifying me. I won't say it again here because I just know it's going to happen. If you get a $100 super chat, I'll tell you how this season's going to end for LSU specifically. But I don't want to bring it up because it really does make me so sad. So, so, so sad. But I do see us ending. The most painful thing, I think, would not be 8-4. Because I think a lot of you have seen what the offenses look like in recent weeks, and your prediction is 8-4. But I think the most painful way would be for us to end 9-3 and barely missing out on the playoffs. Okay. Let's go to Cody L. Who says he says we are disrespected with the Vandy line. I did think LSU was going to slightly be favored by a point. But Vandy is not only a point favorite now, they're favored by 2.5. Which, depending on how much you give Vandy's home field advantage, is an even line. All right, so we're playing at 11 in the morning. Does that change anything? Is there any historical betting evidence from the people that make these lines that your first 11 a.m. game is always tough on you? I mean, maybe. That was the case, obviously, in 2022 versus Tennessee. But in 2023 versus Mississippi State, we saw arguably Jaden's best game when he went 31 for 34. Actually, I might have not even be a Jaden top five game. That's how good he was that year. But he was amazing, and we played amazing defense in that game. And so you really don't know how the start time affects what you're doing. Obviously, Brian Kelly has already shared that they're switching up how things are going to work this week. Where I am very worried about LSU is that this defensive line played so unfreaking believably well versus Vanderbilt. I'd say Vanderbilt versus South Carolina. That it is so hard in the SEC to play that well in back-to-back weeks on a defensive line that is no longer as deep as it was a few weeks ago. We will probably, I'm not the source guy, I'm not the reporting guy, but I am very worried about a few players before going into this next week. So Jamari Butler and Bernard Gooden, in particular Gooden, is banged up, okay, as you guys saw. Jamari Butler has been a fine player for us. He's not been fantastic, but he is a key piece. A year six guy. He's played a lot of football. He's made a few plays for us, made a big play in the South Carolina game, getting a good jump versus a left tackle. I'm worried about that. We already don't have Gabriel Relaford. We have a few guys with some bumps and bruises. We have played a lot of defensive snaps. So you do worry about the overall health, and we're getting ready to go play on a turf field for the first time and play in the morning for the first time. So you do worry about, you know, the surface change and all those different things. And obviously the players practice a lot on in the indoor turf field, but it is a different thing. And I am worried about the overall health with Vanderbilt coming off a bye week. Because no matter what, playing a Lenore Sellers offense is always going to fatigue you. Most defensive players that were out there, when they played high school football, they were the most athletic person on the field at all times. Now, versus South Carolina, the quarterback is the most athletic person on the field at all times. That's how freakishly athletic Lenore Sellers is. Now, Whit Weeks is probably equally as athletic, and in particular Harold Perkins, but you get the picture. South Carolina's got dudes offensively. Now, we shut them down, but late night Tiger Stadium game, you turn around for an 11 a.m. kickoff in Nashville. I think Nashville's Eastern time zone. It's not traveling multiple time zones, which the Big Ten schools keep bitching about, which, you know what you signed up for. But, yeah, I mean, I get Vanderbilt being a slight favorite. But here's the funny thing about it, is that for some reason, you go back and look at LSU versus Vanderbilt last year. Garrett Nussmeier did some ridiculously good things in that game. Ridiculously good. The Mason Taylor throw down the right sideline was ridiculous. There were a few dimes that were dropped in that game from Garrett Nussmeier. He was so good in this game. Remember, we wore the gold uniforms, which, not my cup of tea, but for some reason, I feel as if this is going to be a Garrett game. He looked healthier. The Allen Iverson shooter sleeve gave him some magical powers. In fact, Garrett, change your hair to look like Allen Iverson's for this game. Go all out AI. Wear Reeboks. I don't care. Keep doing the damn thing. Just don't turn it over in the red zone. Please. Please. Let's go to Legendary CEO, Super Chat. He's worried about the road trip and us just having an off game. Yeah, well, let's have a conversation about Vanderbilt. Let's take a look at their results on the season. And I'll pull them up just for you guys. Just for you. Nobody else. This is exclusive PHL information. You cannot get this anywhere. Don't think you can go to fbschedules.com and get this information, because you can't. It's exclusive to me. Weird year for Vanderbilt. 45-3 versus Charleston Southern. 44-20 in Blacksburg, Virginia, with a coach that probably knew he was going to be canned. And they played a weird game the week before versus South Carolina. Then Vanderbilt the next week played the team that Virginia Tech lost to in week one in South Carolina. And Lenore Sellers got hurt. 31-7 was the final score there. Georgia State happened. They put up 70 points. Utah State happened. They put up 55 points. And then on the road versus Alabama, they jumped out on them. Had a lead. But Alabama was eventually able to turn it around. So, up to this point, this has been a really good season for them. It really has. But for me, this is funny. I can you guys hear me? My thing is not giving me any levels. Type Y for yes, type N for no. It says here. My board's not giving me any levels here. The YouTube says I'm on. I can hear myself. Type Y for yes, type N for no. I might have to go get a new board. This has been my baby. But for me, It is really, 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 really hard for me to just discount South Carolina's, or excuse me, Vanderbilt's season. But the season also has not really been a shock, knowing what we know about all the teams. They lost to Alabama, which to me is by far the best team in the SEC right now. So that's not really a shock. And then they beat down a Lenore Sellers-less South Carolina team. And then they beat down a Virginia Tech team that's terrible. So far, anything that they have done up to this point is not really overly impressive. If they beat us, it would really be the first overly impressive thing that they have done this year. So, look, looking back, you could say the same thing about us. We have not done anything overly impressive, but you can make a case that LSU going on the road and beating Clemson in week one is the best win out of any of these two teams. Also, Clark Lea going up against Brian Kelly. You know, we played up that angle quite a bit last year. We're not playing it up here at all. This game means a lot to Clark Lea going up against his former boss. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Jeffrey says, if you want to take LSU, wait till halftime. Yeah, I mean, that's how I feel as well. Like, I will never bet LSU in a first half with a Brian Kelly coach team. I mean, we just have too many slow starts, especially if you exclude the Jaden Daniels Heisman season. So many slow starts. But at the same time, I feel as if Vanderbilt, which is a team that does have a tendency to start well, in particular in big games, we can come back and actually win this game if we need to. And in many ways, you know, this was one point that I made on Sunday, and I feel as if it's one thing that's been a concern for Garrett Nussmeier is that the best quarterbacks are the ones that can play in different styles of games. And Garrett last year played in an offense and on a team that really needed him to carry us, that we really needed him to be the guy. So his mistakes weren't really that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things. Now, they were still big. The A&M game was big. But what happened in the A&M game? Garrett was playing with a lead. All right. Where, in particular, you don't want to be Superman when you have a lead. Whereas if you're playing from behind, or if you're playing in a game that is close and the other team has been the better team, and we played in a lot of those games last year, Garrett went out there and won us a South Carolina game because we really needed him to push things. We could not run. We were totally disheveled. We had a lot of these third and longs that needed to be completed. And yeah, we got lucky on the pick six, but he really pushed us through. Ole Miss game, same thing. We needed him to keep making high leverage throw, keep taking those chances, whereas this year it's different. Can you change up your style of play when the style of the games change? Now, my philosophy on this has changed some because I am of the belief that at all times it's best for most quarterbacks to play as if you need to put up as many points as you possibly can. So don't play conservatively. But you also need to form to what type of team that you do have. And this is a team where Brian Kelly has publicly said we are going to be carried by our defense this year. And we need to do a better job of managing the expectations of how that looks. And I think part of that is with the quarterback. You must be smarter with the football. So if, go back to, let's say, the Florida game. If we are losing 20-10 in the Florida game, the interception he threw isn't as bad because it was third and long and we needed some things to happen. Now, it's still really bad, but it's not as bad because we were losing. Same thing with South Carolina. I think the South Carolina one is still worse, even if you make this hypothetical, but it still remains the same, right? A quarterback was being pressed to make something happen with the team losing. So you look, Garrett has never really played well at times, or never is a strong word, but when you really break it down, when we've had leads, Garrett has struggled. Jeffrey says we're hitting 28 points. Oh, I would love that. We're winning if we get to 28. I do like the way we match up well defensively with them. Let's see here. Let's go to Roy. Vandy under 200 passing yards in big games. Yeah. All right. Another thing. Diego Pavia is not that great. He is a very good college quarterback. But as a passer, it's tough. It's really, really, really tough. Eli Stowers, of course, is his best weapon, his tight end. Their backs are good, 28. Long touchdown run versus Alabama was really impressive. But, you know, I've really not dove too deep into their game and their team. I'm going to wait till, obviously, Wednesday and Thursday to do that. Well, thank you, Legendary CEO. We need you here every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central. Well, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 6 p.m. Central. Sunday at 8 p.m. Central and pregame, halftime, postgame streams. The Nuss glaze is real. I've been a Nuss glazer. I don't mind the word glaze, by the way. It's okay to glaze things that you believe in and things that you like. I think when people say glaze, though, so Gary, good to see you. I think when people say glaze, it's when you hyperbolize how much you love something or you love someone. Well, glaze is a weird word to describe that because glaze is normally a good thing. It is. Donuts are glazed. Are you saying that? You don't like donuts? What's up with the hate towards the word glaze? All right, here's what we're going to do. Next 5 to 10 minutes, I'm going to answer as many questions as we possibly can. Once again, big thanks to Wyatt for joining the YouTube membership. Hit me up, Wyatt, if you want in the Discord since you joined the membership. Oh, is Krispy Kreme the goat? It's funny, so where I went to high school, that town, which I love near and dear to my heart, is known nationally for their donuts. But they're not donuts, they're called Spudnuts. They're made out of potato flour. And they're so much better than actual donuts. Krispy Kreme's good, but I will tell you this. PHL Nation, I would freaking adore for a Mary Lee Donut sponsorship. I love Mary Lee Donuts in Baton Rouge. It's just when I go, I have to choose between Mary Lee Donuts and Coffee Call and their beignet fingers. And my Auntie Paula, she prefers the beignet fingers, and obviously I'm going to listen to my aunt. Sardo, did you ever get my email about the Discord, bro? Need you in there. Tari, what's good, bro? Does Barry get 8 or more carries versus Vanderbilt? That's a good question. Touches are earned, not given. So, obviously, the blocking is what it is. Harlem showed some good things versus Ole Miss. And then, of course, he had that ridiculous run at the end of the Southeastern game, and it was ridiculous. But outside of that, is there anything that he has done that says, hey, we need to give him more carries? And the answer to that is probably not. And once again, it's probably more his environment than his own ability. But the thing that kind of went under the radar for me in the game versus South Carolina is that Caden Durham is so far and away our best running back. And I understand that Juwan Johnson in particular has a lot of fans on this channel, and I'm one of them. But if you want to give Harlem more touches, that means you're giving those touches to him when they could go to Juwan or Caden. But there are quite a few of you that want more touches to Harlem Barry. And look, if he's explosive and unfreaking believably good with the football in his hands, let's see it. I'm all for it. I like Harlem Barry. Just go to Peyton. Everybody, welcome Peyton to the channel. I feel like if we can beat Vandy, Nuss will get hot, improve each game, and by the playoffs, we'll be close to elite. Well, this is what sports are now, all right? And football has always been this way. The NBA is starting to become like this. And if you've watched the MLB playoffs, I haven't, but I've seen a few box scores, if you will. So take this for what it's worth. It's not anything crazy, but I've seen this throughout sports since everyone is so much smarter when it comes to sports. I feel like athletes and teams are just smarter now. There's so much more data. There's so many more talented players across the board. Like for me, the average pro athlete in all the pro sports or the average college athlete, since we're talking about college sports, is so much better than what it was even 10, 15 years ago, because now everyone's got access to private coaching, 7-on-7s, and so on. I do think everything is flattened, not only with the portal and NIL and all of it. I just think there's more good players across the way. So if there's more good players across the way, the special players still matter a whole heck of a lot. But your weak links, if they are indeed very weak, really hurt you. And basically, to me, the biggest thing of the Brian Kelly era is, yes, in particular on offense, the schemes have lacked some oomph, if you will. I will give you that a whole hell of a lot of times and acknowledge that a whole hell of a lot of times. But we have so many weak links. We just do. We still do on the offensive side of the football. And last year, our teams really suffered from weak links holding us back. Okay? So, I do think we don't have as many weak links as we used to, which I think is a really good thing. Thank God for the transfer portal for solving a lot of those issues. But it's interesting that the two players on last year's team that returned to this year's team, both of which who played over 900 snaps, came back and don't even sniff the field. They don't get close to sniffing the field. So what does that tell you? Well, their weak links on last year's team. And I like both of these guys, so I'm not going to bring up their names, but I think you could figure it out. Now they don't play. They don't play at all. And they're good depth pieces. They're good in a spot, I feel. But, you know, LSU's got better options at those positions now. Well, Tari, that's subjective. If you don't think the product is as good now as it once was 10 years ago, that's fine. That's perfectly fine for you. I disagree, though. I really do disagree. Now, it just depends. There have been some schematic revolutions that have changed the way football's played, more so at the NFL than the college level, which, in short, the too high revolution. All right, which is kind of a schemey kind of thing. I don't like doing too much scheme stuff in a live stream, but for those that don't know, safeties play further back pre-snap more so than post-snap, but it makes it harder to throw deep stuff down the field. And I agree. I agree from the 616. I disagree with some of the cultural changes of college football, but I do think the sport is a whole hell of a lot funner to watch. All right. Now, the funny thing is, the television ratings say it's better for college football to have one dominant Death Star program. So like Alabama now and Ohio State, the way they are now. But the neutral viewer, or should I say the diehard viewer, prefers more chaos. I prefer more chaos. I'm not just saying this because I don't like Alabama. I'm glad Saban's gone. It sucked that Nick Saban kicked everybody's asses. It sucked. Could someone please explain for Timothy? Welcome to the channel, Mr. Cannon. Congrats on your long line of cameras. Why BK should be calling plays? I don't know who he is. I don't mind with him. I don't mind him being involved, but yeah, I'm with you. I don't think he should call plays. But yeah, the ratings are better when the Warriors are involved. They are. Or when the Cowboys were dominant, the ratings were better. Actually, that's not true. NFL ratings only go up. All right, so you are who I was referencing earlier. And I won't bring back my whole argument here. No one is mad that LSU is 5-1. Okay? Just keep winning, says Rocky. You know what happened a long time ago when the same argument was being made? LSU had just beaten Tennessee, and we were undefeated, and then the wheels came off pretty quick. And I think I'm getting the years mixed up. But, you know, you can't, like, trust me, I'm happy we're 5-1. But you just can't get in the mindset that the end result of just winning games is everything. For instance, if we were to play Texas today at a neutral site, do you think LSU would be favored or do you think Texas would be favored? Texas would probably be favored. If we played at Ohio State compared to at Clemson, what do you think Texas's record would be? What do you think LSU's record would be? So this idea that, hey, we're 5-1, everyone should be happy, shut the F up. Yeah, there's a piece of me that I tweeted out something similar. Yeah, I'm proud of this team. There's a lot of people sacrificing a lot for this team. But I do think it is important to point out that we can be better. I don't think it's too much to ask, hey, why are we the only offense in the SEC to not have scored 24 points? And Sibley disagrees with me on that, and that's fine. He says, just win. Just win ugly all the way. And look, I'll take that. If we can win not scoring 24 in a game, that would be pretty impressive. This would be the best defense of all time. Yeah, but they had some resemblance of a good offense. Okay. Okay. So if you want to compare us to Notre Dame of last year, Notre Dame. Thirty-one to 13 over Georgia Tech. 52 to 3 over Florida State. 35 to 14 over Virginia. 49 to 35 over USC. 27 points on Indiana. They could have scored more in that one. Georgia, they had a big lead. There was a long kickoff return. And then, of course, they beat Penn State. They had a good offense. They had a run game. No, they weren't ass. They were not ass. Any offense with Jeremiah Love on it is not ass. Their backup running back would start at most SEC schools. Oh, hell yeah. This is cool. I just got a message here. So I DJ'd a wedding on New Year's Eve. Actually, it was the day before New Year's Eve. 2 days before New Year's Eve. And I didn't know this going into it. I'd only talked to the bride, but the groom was a pretty good college baseball player at like a D2 school. And he just signed a minor league deal with an MLB team. It's crazy how hard it is to make professional sports. It is so crazy. And, you know, there's nothing quite like it. Nothing like quite getting to the damn show. Let's go to Peyton. Welcome to the channel, Peyton Gates. Chris Hilton can't catch, okay? Now, I'm with you, Rock. Yeah, I do think the LSU offense can get a little frisky this weekend. I do. All right, my wife's home. It is time for the birthday celebration. I will be on with Mr. Blake Ruffino, though, at 7:30. Top Super Chatters, Wyatt, legendary CEO. Good to see you guys. Lots of potential, but nothing works. Marcus, good to see you, man. And that is a cinematic photo. Look at that. I just dropped a New Orleans Saints film study on Power Hour NFL. Y'all, we have got to calm down with some of the Spencer Rattler talk. Like, I'm serious. It is getting crazy out there. I do think he's good, though. You cannot deny that he's not a good NFL solid option at QB. Okay? Big thanks once again to Fortify Gulf Coast and our friends at Labor Therapy. Ed's Power Hour. Now, wait, what was that? Well, come tell them.
Hey, it's my birthday. Send a super chat. And Carter has to send it to me for my birthday trip. I'm going to Nashville to see Keith Urban, front row seat 1 and 2. Holler if you see me. Bye.
Did they get it?
Yeah, they got it. Did y'all hear that? So all the super chats are going to her and her Keith Urban money. I joked about this, but Keith is a single man. So if Keith tells my wife, if Keith asks my lovely wife to take his hand in marriage, you better believe I'm telling her to go. I would be stupid to say, hey, Keith, go on ahead, take it. Hey, she's all yours. She's known Keith longer than me.
I really have. It's been my 44th show.
44th Keith Urban show?
Yes.
Would you let him put his shrimp in your Barbie?
Your shrimp on the Barbie is crazy enough. Don't say that. That is ugly. That is not nice.
Because I got one right here. Oh my God, Jason, this dad joke just ruined the whole evening, bro. God, dude, Jason, please, if you can, go jump into an erupting volcano full of electric eels. Like, we really had some genuine laughs because Haley's way funnier and prettier than I am. And then you have to come in with this stupid-ass dad joke. But have you ever seen Keith Rural? Oh, my God, Jason. Nobody's donated yet. Nobody.
Wow, thank God.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. Oh, don't do the Venmo. Don't do the Venmo painting on the back of your... That is the tackiest thing. Oh, my God. Yeah, we're just married. Give us money for Bahama Mamas on this carnival cruise we're going on. Shut up. You got married. You got enough gifts. Trade in the damn toaster your grandmother gave you for some cash, for goodness sakes. Oh, Bubs. Oh, God. Jeremy, I hate to break it to you, dude. Your life will not be able to exist after this. But Keith Urban and Nicole Kidman got divorced. They are divorced. Yeah, I guess Nicole could hit me up if there was a trade. But yes, they are divorced. But more importantly, how about this? Sad, sad, sad story. Like, and Nicole Kidman's a great actress, but Diane Keaton passing away. Holy crap, that was seismic. Seismic, her passing. Can't watch The Godfather anymore without getting sad. Diane Keaton. Now, Jeremy, it was actually like a month ago. Hey, Rob. But Diane Keaton's a big one, dude. God. Literally one of the best actresses to ever walk the face of the earth. Yeah, I did say my wife is 23. That's a good sign. You saw her on camera and you actually thought she was 23. That's good. She's gonna love that. That's gonna get everybody happy. All right, y'all. That'll do it for me. We will see you on Mr. Ruffino's show. Actually, we'll go ahead and roll out the super chat. Rob, you get to pick the next topic. Go right on ahead. Sourdough Man, shoot me another email if you can. I think I sent you the Discord link. J-Red, thank you. And Sibley, of course, happy birthday to you. What if Cohen Echols, like, has a game of his life versus Vanderbilt? Okay, all good, man. If you have any questions, hit me up. All right, y'all. Big thanks to every one of you. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom! Tonight, we are doing chicken. Let's go. Or did we do all the... Yeah, we did all that.